here this morning for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot to mention earlier on that on the 18th of September at 7:30, the Village Centre are having their AGM here in the church, and obviously that's a kind of public meeting open for anyone that wants to come along to that. So that's a week on Wednesday here in the church at 7:30. I've got this little booklet with me this morning. It's called Try Praying. And there is a number of them. You can pick one up on the desk as you're going out. You can pick one up at the welcome desk in the Village Centre. In the opening page it says this: the morning of a job interview, the night when a family member was sick, the 5 minutes before an exam. Most people have prayed in moments of desperation. Was someone listening? Was the prayer answered? People find praying helps and have had answers. This week, you can find out if someone does listen and care. And Try and Praying is a little booklet. It's a 7-day kind of guide to get you into praying, as the name says, to get you trying at praying. And this is how they describe prayer in this booklet. Prayer is a conversation with God. You don't need to use special words or have a special voice. You can pray out loud or silently. God knows what you think and is aware of all you do. You can talk to Him about anything. In fact, they go on to say you can talk to Him about anything, at any time, anywhere. You can talk to God. Maybe this morning you think, well, I didn't know that. Maybe that's something new for you this morning. Now, let me encourage you to pick up one of the little Try Praying booklets this morning and have that conversation with God. Over the last two Sundays, we have been thinking about the practice of prayer. We looked firstly at the word pause. What does it mean to actually quieten ourselves down, to recognize that when we come to pray, we come into God's presence? Last week, we were looking at rejoicing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. When we come to pray, we come part in part rejoicing and worshiping God for who He is. And this morning we come to think about the area of prayer where probably most of us, if we pray, spend most of our time, and that is asking. We come to God with some sort of prayer request about something maybe to do with our own lives or something to do with someone else's life. In fact, the little booklet here mentions this: 20 million adults in the UK pray. 13 million pray at least once a month, and 9 million every day. One in three people believe God will answer their prayers. Many people are praying. And for the follower of Jesus, if that's you this morning, we know it's core of what it means to follow Jesus. It's to pray. We've been in Matthew 6 over the last few weeks, where Jesus repeatedly says, when you pray. One of the rhythms of our lives as a follower of Jesus is that anywhere, anytime, about anything, praying that we can do to God. And in the Lord's Prayer that we've been in Matthew 6, we see that Jesus says that it's okay in prayer to ask. It's okay to ask about things. Let me read this text to you again this morning. Matthew 6, this then is how you should pray, Jesus says. Our Father in heaven. You know, that's one of my favorite lines, those first two words, our Father. I always have to pause there at that. It doesn't say my Father. Jesus didn't say my Father, reminding us that we're all part of the one family. We're all part of a community together. Our Father. You know, prayer is personal because God is personal, because God is a God of love demonstrated and revealed through the life of Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this morning we're really going to focus on that, those verses. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us today our daily bread. I have a biography in my office about a man called George Mueller. I have read it a number of times because it's such an encouraging read. And in 1836, He started what we might call today this sort of social care program for children and for orphans. And he started 117 schools. He cared for 10,000 orphans. He educated 120,000 children, all from a heart of wanting to see them get a better start in life. And when you read about the life of George Mueller, one of the things that is so startling is that he never once asked for money. He never once went on some big public tour around the country for asking people to give money to him. He just trusted that God would provide for him. He spoke about what they were doing and trusted his strategy was prayer. And on one occasion, is one of my most favorite stories. I've probably told this before. Apologies if you've heard it before. But on one occasion, he's standing up in front of 300 children. And it's morning and it's breakfast time. And there is nothing. There is no food at all for in the kitchen to feed these children. And he stands up he gives thanks for what they're about to eat, knowing that there's nothing there for them to eat. And he gives thanks for what they're about to eat. And this knock comes on the door. And this baker had been up since 2 a.m. and God had put it on his heart to bake bread for them. So they get bread. They close the door and then another knock comes on the door. And this milkman, his cart has broken down outside and wondered if they wanted to use their fresh milk that morning. It was going to go off. And so there they had it, their bread and their milk. George Mueller asked. And Jesus in the Lord's Prayer says to us, it's okay to ask. It's okay to try praying. The Apostle Paul, used by God to write so much of the New Testament, is writing to young Timothy in the book of Timothy, writing to this young leader. And he says to him in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, I urge then first of all, he says to him, I urge then first of all that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Paul is saying the first things first is to pray. And I know it's myself at times. I can get right into something. I can write into planning something and right into talking about something. And then I suddenly think, wait a minute, let's pause here and recognize that God is here. Let's rejoice for who his God is. Let's ask God about this. But you know, people I know will say to me, Mark, you tell me God knows everything. So why do you even bother praying? Why ask for something that God knows about already? And I love it when people ask me that question because I get to give them two answers about that question. It's a great question. And I share with them two things. Why do I pray? Why do many of you pray? One of the reasons I pray is it builds my relationship with God. There's a story in Matthew 9 of the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. And Jesus is walking through a crowd and this woman thinks, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. And she touches Jesus' cloak and she's healed, and Jesus senses the power coming out of him. And I often think, well, Jesus could have just kept on walking. You know, he could have just kept going, but he stops to speak with her. And he says, take heart, my daughter. Your faith has healed you. And when Jesus prayed for people, he also spoke with them. He also got down where they were and sat with them because he had compassion with them. When we pray, it's relational. It's meeting with Jesus. And the other reason I say to folks is because I need God. That's why I pray. That story of George Mueller, he didn't stand up in front of those 300 kids and say, it's okay, I've got this sorted. I'll figure out something. I know a guy who knows a guy who will be able to get something for us. In front of them all, there was that raw vulnerability as he asked God to provide for them. And there's another story in the Gospel of Matthew of the centurion. This Roman centurion, and he comes to Jesus. This would have been a man birthed and forged in a culture of self-reliance, in a culture of self-achievement, where you had to be strong, where you had to be independent, where you didn't show any weakness at all. And he comes to Jesus and he says to him, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. There was nothing he could do. And he was like, Jesus, I need your help. Who of us have not been in that place? Maybe in that place this morning. Psalm 62, verse 8, the psalmist says, pour out your hearts to Him. And there have been times, and there will be times, when that's what you want to do. You just want to come and pour out your heart to God. And as it says in the Try Praying booklet, you don't need a praying voice. You don't need to suddenly find some wonderful, holy voice to pray and talk to God. You don't need to be in a great place to come and pray and talk to God. You just need to come knowing that He hears every cry. So when folks say to me, Mark, why do you bother praying? I say to them, I believe I've got a relationship with God through Jesus. And I get to talk to God. And I get to listen to God through that relationship. And you know what I also know, what I say to folks is, I don't have it sorted. I'm not all sorted. I don't have everything all sorted. And so I need to ask God. And I need to come to God. And I need to talk to Him about these things. And Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, it's okay. It's okay to come and ask. But do these words of Jesus, though, help to deepen our understanding? Do they help us understand more about what it is we ask for? Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, for me, as I read those verses, there is both a here and now aspect to what Jesus is saying there. And there's also a still to come aspect of that. And then for some of you this morning, that language, kingdom come, might sound quite strange. But when Jesus came to earth, He said, He came saying, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. The rule of God has come near. And Jesus is saying here, your kingdom come. Well, that's a prayer. That's an incredible prayer. In fact, maybe you don't realize just what an incredible prayer that is. It's actually a very bold, missional prayer. Because in part, when we're praying, your kingdom come, well, how does that actually happen? How does that happen right now? God uses His local church. That's how that happens. Through His local church, we see the kingdom of God coming. And it's a missional prayer in many ways, that we're praying that as God's people, we would be the witness we need to be, that we would show the love of Jesus, that we would need to show that we would see people responding to Jesus as we pray, your kingdom come. But there's also a future aspect to it as well. I believe Jesus is God's Son. I believe He died for our sins. I believe He rose again. I believe He sits at the right hand of God right now. And I believe that one day He is coming back again to judge the living and the dead. Your kingdom come is a prayer of declaration. It's a prayer of intent. It's a prayer of future hope, knowing that Jesus is coming back again. But it's a prayer that also expresses a desire for transformation. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. This is a prayer for transformation, that God would continue to transform the lives of people on this earth, that everyone would come to obey Him and know Him and love Him. And these are prayers that long to see the glory of God reaching out across the world. This is prayers that longs to see regimes being changing and situations changed. And if you pick up one of these Try Praying booklets, you'll read on day 3 about an event that took place that most of us remember back in 1989, the Berlin Wall coming down. And many reasons were given for that wall coming down, but historians often missed the most crucial one, and that was prayer. There was a prayer meeting going on in Leipzig. Stefan, if I have pronounced that, I apologize. You can correct me later. In Leipzig, in East Germany, and there was a pastor in 1982 that started a prayer meeting with just 12 people. Just 12 people. 7 years later, it had grown. There were 4 churches holding weekly prayer meetings. Many ordinary citizens just came along to these prayer meetings. After the prayer meetings, they would have light candles, and they would go on a peace march. And the media in the West got hold of this, and the communist authorities were worried about how they were going to stop this. They beat up some of the marchers, some of them were put in prison, but the crowds kept coming, the prayer meetings kept happening. 50,000 people on the 9th of October into that town, the army were sent, and people feared that it was going to be a massacre. They emptied out the hospital so there would be places for all the people that would come in. The East German leader gave permission for force to be used. But the prayer meeting went ahead. And the march took place, 70,000 people. The following Monday, 120,000 people. A week later, 500,000. By November, 1,000,000 people marched in East Berlin, and something amazing happened. And people will give you all different reasons for why that happened, but few folk, they talk about the prayer that had been taking place. Those people marched, and they crossed into West Berlin, and the police stood by. Many of us would have watched it in the telly, read it in the paper. And not a shot was fired. 40 years of a regime, and it came down. And part of the reason it came down was the power of prayer. And who of us today does not have a big issue on their heart? Something close to your heart could be murder and slavery. We saw it this week in the news, that gang that was arrested. It's the terrible slavery that's going on in our own country. Who of us today don't need to be calling out for the political situation that we're in right now? It's got to the point I don't even understand it. But I know I need to be praying about it. And we pray longing to see the glory of God spreading out across this world. The local church, through prayer, can see incredible transformation come into nations and come into communities. And Jesus talks about this. He talks about this, and he says, you know, it's okay as well to pray right into your personal issues. Jesus says, you know, he takes it right down into our everyday lives. He says, give us today our daily bread. Daily bread was the daily provision of the rich and the poor, the slave and the free in Jesus' time. It's a prayer that we might get what we need to get through the day. Food, wisdom, strength, courage. It's bringing our needs and the needs of others before Him. Before God. It's asking for things to do with our lives and the lives of others. And in the time we've got left this morning, as we're at the start of our journey into our week of 24/7 prayer, I want to think with you what it means to ask about the situation of others around us. We spend a lot of time praying about ourselves, but what about praying for others? What do we mean by that? How does that work in our life? Do our prayers make any difference? Pete Gregg, in his book, How to Pray, that we've been encouraging you to read, tells a story of a town in Texas. And in this town, a guy that owned a pub had decided he was going to make the pub bigger. He was going to build an extension onto his pub. And it was right next to the local Baptist church. And they were like, no, we don't want this. This isn't good for our town. And so they started a campaign against this. And they launched press releases and protests. And they had prayer meetings against this. But the guy got his planning permission. And the pub extension went ahead. And the folk in the Baptist church were just gutted. They were like, oh, we prayed so much about this. And 1 week before the grand opening of the extension, a lightning storm hit the town, hit the pub, put it on fire and burned it to the ground. And everyone in the church were like, yes, God heard our answer to the prayer. We were, and they were all celebrating this. But the bar owner was furious. And this being America, he decided he was going to sue the church. That the church was ultimately responsible for the material demise of his livelihood, whether through direct or indirect actions of means. And suddenly all those folks in the church that had been shouting about how wonderful an answer to prayer was, they all went quiet. Nobody wanted to get sued. So the case went to court, and the judge said, I don't know what I'm going to do here. He says, we appear to have a pub owner who believes passionately in the power of prayer, an entire congregation that has lost its faith entirely. They all went quiet. Do our prayers make any difference? You know, I have prayed for others. I have prayed for situations, and God has answered powerfully. I have prayed for situations and others, and it's not gone the way I prayed. And that can be hard. And that can be real difficult. We need to put our hands up and admit that. And often at those times, I just hold on to God's love and just trust in Him. And then there are other situations that I'm still waiting. And I'm still praying. And I'm still hoping. But God has given His church the power of prayer to bring into the lives of others. We have a word that we use to describe it. Paul used it in that letter to Timothy. It means to intercede. What do I mean by that? Well, imagine there's two people on either side of the platform, just to try and illustrate this. And one of them represents God. And one of them represents a person or a city or a situation of need, and I'm standing in the middle between God and this person or God or this situation, and I'm interceding, which means I'm going to God on their behalf, and I'm calling out to God on their behalf, and I'm getting into the face of God on their behalf, and I'm saying, God, bring transformation, bring healing, bring renewal. That's what it means to intercede on the behalf of others. That's what we need to be doing in the church as well. That's what we're called to do as a local church. We're doing 24/7 prayer. We're not doing it just to create a warm, cozy space for you to go to and sit in for an hour. We're doing it because we're passionate. As a local church, we need to be interceding on the behalf of others, on the behalf of our nation. We see stories of it in the Bible. Luke 22 is a fascinating story. Jesus is talking to Simon Peter, and he says to him, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you, all of you, as wheat. But I have prayed for you. That's Jesus interceding for him. I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus is saying, Peter, you're going to go through some sort of time of intense testing. You're going to feel like you've been sifted. And maybe you can relate to that this morning. Maybe you can relate what it feels like to feel like you've been sifted by some sort of situation. And Jesus said, I'm going to pray that your faith does not fail. Jesus doesn't pray for the trial not to come. He says, Peter, I'm going to pray that you will come through this trial. You will come through it, and I will see you through it on the other side. And we need to know that Jesus actually lives today to intercede for us, to bring us through the trials that we go through. To intercede then is to act as a go-between, it's to intervene, it's to come in, as my old pastor in Canada used to say, to stand in the face of God and call out to God. In Ezekiel chapter 22, you can read that later because time's going on. Read from verse 30. It talks there about God looking for someone who will stand in the gap between the nation of Israel and himself, and who will call out for this nation, who will call out for them. You know, Scotland, these men and women of God to stand in the gap for it and to cry out for this land today. You know, there are people in your life, and you are the only person in this world who is positioned to stand in the gap and to pray for them. This town, this nation, who's called to stand in the gap? It's the local church. The local church to stand in the gap. Oswald Chambers says the real business of your life is intercessory prayer. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is this greater work. Will this town here be transformed by great preaching from the pulpits? Well, by the time you leave this morning, you'll have forgotten 90% of what I have said. Don't worry, I've probably forgotten 90% of what I said as well. Don't get me wrong, the public preaching of God's word is really important. The Holy Spirit takes God's word and uses it to bring transformation. But what did Paul say to that young leader? Timothy said, first of all, it's prayer. First of all, it's prayer. And you are needed to pray in the life group. Starting back this week is one of the great things about being in a life group. You get to pray together about different situations. You know, we've got the men's prayer meeting on a Thursday evening, 8:30, Ron. Thursday evening. We've got 10:30 prayer on Sunday morning. We're doing 24/7 prayer this week. We've got Restore on a Sunday evening. Opportunities to come and pray. So let me encourage you. If you are praying, keep doing it. If you've never tried praying, give it a go. Why do I pray? Well, through Jesus Christ, I've come into a relationship with God. And I come before Him and I get to tell Him everything that's going on in my life. I can pray about big global issues. I can pray the small details of my life. Anywhere, anytime, about anything, I can come and ask and pray. So let me give you some things to take home this week and maybe try and put into practice. Many of you are doing this, maybe not, but try praying this week. Is there a person that actually is in your life and you're suddenly realizing this morning, you know, I'm the only person who can intercede for them this morning? Is God putting someone on your life this morning to be praying for? Is there a situation? Maybe at work. Maybe you're reading all the, watching all the news programs about what's going on in politics, and you've got all the debates about it, but are you praying into it? Maybe that's what God's putting in your heart, praying into one of these big issues. And maybe you need to just pause and get some more information. You know, I've got a friend that asked me probably about 2 years ago to pray for his sister. And every time I meet that friend, I just ask him, how's your sister doing? I get informed so that I can pray more specifically into that situation. Encourage yourself. Get a book about George Mueller and read about the life of that man's incredible life in prayer. Open your Bible. Read about the promises of God. And don't give up. And I know that's really hard. Don't give up. I've shared before, one of the most difficult times in my life was when someone I knew very close to me, and I'd called out for God to heal this person. And it was part of a whole church that was calling out for this person to be healed. And they died. They went in glory. The greater healing they had experienced in their life was through Jesus Christ. And I can remember the whole church was devastated. I was devastated. And I can remember literally the week later after that happened, someone coming to me and saying, Mark, can you pray for this person? And I remember thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I've given so much. I've called out so much for this person. I was really wrestling. And God just said to me, Mark, don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop being an intercessor. Don't stop calling out. And I would encourage you with that this morning. Maybe you're sitting there and you're wrestling. I called out for this and I called out for that and it didn't happen the way I wanted. Well, don't stop praying, because prayer is what God has given his church to use. It's the power of prayer to see transformation coming into situations and coming into life. So let me encourage you this week to stand in the gap. To stand in the gap and be the intercessor that God is looking for his church. And let me encourage you maybe to set aside some time, or maybe to book into the 24/7 prayer and pray into whatever that situation, whatever the person it might be or the situation might be, and to give prayer a try. If you've never tried praying, then pick up one of these booklets. It will walk you through 7 days of praying, and you might just at the end of it be amazed at what God does and what God reveals into your life. Let us pray together. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for that teaching we have in your word, Jesus, when the disciples came to you and said, you know, teach us to pray. And you gave them that teaching, and part of which is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Lord, thank you that we can ask. We can ask about the big things, Lord, and we do pray for that, Lord. We pray for this morning for all the stuff that's going on in politics, and I don't understand it all, Lord, but we pray into it. You tell us in your word to pray for the leaders, and we pray, Lord, for wisdom to come. We pray, Lord, for breakthrough to come, Lord. We pray that these people that are maybe trying to sort things out on their, by themselves, would realize that you are their Lord, and they can call out to you, and they can gain wisdom and help from you, Father. And so we pray into the political scene of this land at this time, Father. Lord, but each of us here this morning will have our own things. We'll have situations. We'll have people that we're interceding for, Father. Maybe for a long time. And maybe we're grown weary with that. Maybe we're grown tired. Lord, I pray for those people this morning that you would just encourage them, that you would just strengthen them, that you would just help them to keep going and keep calling out. Lord, for those of us, and there'll be none of us who haven't wrestled in the valley of wondering, you know, I called out, Lord, and this didn't happen. Well, what's that about, Lord? For those of us that may be in that place this morning, then, Lord, maybe just know that you're right there with us. And maybe we just hold on to you. And maybe just keep walking forward, believing in you, Lord, and trusting in you, Father. Lord, we thank you for the many answers to prayers that we have seen, Lord. And Lord, I pray that in the life of this church, you would do more and more miracles, Lord. And Lord, the greatest miracle of all is the life that comes to accept you, Jesus, as the Lord and Savior. So Lord, we pray for your saving power to be at work more and more. In this church, Lord, across this town, in the communities where we represent you, Father God, would we see your saving power coming and touching the lives of the people around us, Father. And we ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to worship God together, and the band are going to come up.